Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Do you have a dog? Well, I have a dog, and everyone knows about my dog, because my dog, Zoe, is on YouTube. But tell me, do you know what your dog likes to eat? Well, actually, my dog likes to eat everything. We have to keep food away from her. Have you ever wanted to know more about what is the best food to feed your dog? Would you like to learn why raw food is good for pets? Can you imagine having your dog's food delivered directly to your home? I can't imagine that, but it sounds like a wonderful service. Now, have you ever heard about a cookbook called Your Pet Chef Cookbook? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today?
I don't know.
Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to feed your dog? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a successful chef. She will provide us with wonderful, informative, inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice about food and everything else. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk For Media and syndicated on iHeart Radio Talk with over 55 million listeners. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeartRadio. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed last year. Now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no-wine zone. Pour yourself a little glass of wine and have some cheese and crackers, and if that doesn't work, then have some chocolate. Let me tell you about our guest today. Our guest is the owner and the creator of Your Pet Chef, which makes personalized dog food using all human-grade ingredients delivered directly to the dog's owner's home in prepackaged portions. My guest began making food for her dogs about 5 years ago when her rough collie, Shelby, was diagnosed with a degenerative myelopathy. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Her veterinarian asked if she would be interested in making a special diet for her dog that would help slow the progression of the disease, which she did, and the rest is history. My guest is the author of Your Pet Chef Cookbook, which features not only collections of recipes, but more importantly, a collection of stories. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show today, Lisa Hennessy. Hi, Lisa. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. Thanks for having me on today.
Oh, it's so interesting. You know, I'm a dog lover. I live in a community where if you don't have a dog, I think they ask you to leave.
Good. That's a good community.
Yeah. And every day we meet at 5 o'clock and we call it a pooch party. And it's a little park we all go to and have our dogs play and we all get together. So they're all going to want to hear what I have to say about today's show. I hear your dog barking.
Of course, it's right on cue. This always happens. I've locked them like three doors down, and they still know the minute it says live, they bark.
Yeah. Oh, that's the way that goes.
Yes.
Now, share with my listeners a little bit about where your success story began, where you were born, and who your early mentors were, and did you always have pets?
I am the oldest of five. I was born in a suburb of Chicago, and I live in Chicago currently. I would have to say my best mentor was my dad, and we have five kids. I'm the oldest, and he always, you know, went to work when it was dark, came home when it was dark, never took vacations. They used the vacation money for school supplies or school clothes. I mean, he was a little electrician. So, you know, we didn't grow up wealthy and having a lot of things. And we always just had to work hard for everything we did. My background is in purchasing and sourcing and operations. And I've worked for different kinds of companies that really gave me a good idea. I was also a general manager. So I knew how to run a company. My position as a general manager a couple years ago was eliminated, and that was a month before I turned 50. So I kind of was at a crossroads. So I had already started making the food for Shelby and then for my other dogs. We thought that it would be a good business idea, but it wasn't really something I'm not a half-hearted kind of person. I have to do it all the way or no way. So I knew I couldn't work in, you know, full-time work. Who works 40 hours? It's 60 or 70.
Right.
So I knew I couldn't put the time in. Well, this was the opportunity. I knew it would be hard for me to find a new job at that. You know, I had a, you know, it was a big job. And I thought, you know what? Now's the time to give this a start. So I did. And it was a big risk. My husband is a mailman. He is not used to risk. he was very used to that nice check coming every other week. And so it's been a big change in our household, but it's been wonderful. It really has been. It's been great.
Thank you for sharing that. You have, I couldn't help but thinking as I was listening to you, you have such a fantastic voice for radio. I think that I'm going to suggest your next business that you should host a radio show once a week on your pets and all the wonderful stories you have. I think you'd be fantastic.
Thanks.
Now let's talk a little bit about this company. How old is your company?
My company is a little over 2 years old. We didn't really know what to call it. I have several nieces and nephews. I don't have any children. I have dogs. And so we kind of all got together and said, what should, you know, Aunt Lisa name this company? And we came up with Your Pet Chef because while I just, you know, make food for dogs now, I wanted to make sure I could kind of expand in the future. You know, the lady who helps me with marketing was like, you never know, people have reptiles. And you could use the same ingredients you use now and make reptile meals or something. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. So we came up with Your Pet Chef. Having the operations and business background, I knew I needed a business plan. Mm-hmm. I took an online course, 6 weeks at home, helped me lay out how I really wanted the company. And then I made the website myself. Thanks for the compliment.
Okay.
I took an online class and did it. So I was really about making sure I was educated enough to say, I'm going to go live. And then I did and went to trade shows and started to gain a client base.
That's fantastic, because we talk about that a lot on this show, because it's obviously everyone sharing success stories.
Right.
And I think it's so important that when people find their passion, which obviously I can tell you have, all of a sudden success seems to come to them. A lot of the times it's difficult starting, but if you persevere, you'll get there. Share with us a little bit about Shelby. What was this disease that she was diagnosed with?
It's called degenerative myelopathy, and what it is the nerve endings in her hind end degenerated and just basically wasted away. So she lost the ability to walk. So mm-hmm. she and we were kind of like, you know, this stinks. She's only 8. She's getting ripped off. Mm-hmm. And so we did acupuncture, underwater treadmill, anything you could do to mm-hmm. keep her muscles strengthened, to kind of compensate for the nerve endings. And then the vet said, would you cook this diet? It was designed specifically for this disease. And I'm like, well, sure. I had never purchased tofu in my life. You know, I am an Irish Catholic girl from the south side of Chicago. We do not do tofu. And I was like, where do you even buy it? What is it? So I had to actually do some research on how even to just use it. And it, cause it had tofu and spinach and broccoli and again, Southsiders, we do everything big. So the recipe called for like a cup of this and that. And I was like, oh, you got to do it times 5. Well, we're not going to do that. So I had this giant bucket that I mixed up and I'm like, there's no way she's going to eat this. She gobbled it up and we were like, really? So she went out with a bang because she got to eat this great food and we started to feed it to the other dogs and really learn more about nutrition because, you know, I was just like most of the people out there. You kind of talk to your friends, what do they feed? That's what you feed and that's it. And we started to really investigate a little bit more, like what was really better for them. And I worked with my vet to say, give me 10 recipes that will be much more healthy for them. And that's how I started. I would cook every 6 weeks. I am, again, just like a super organized person because I'm lazy at heart. And so I really wanted to make sure everything was, you know, in the morning, you're getting ready to go to work. You don't want to worry about, you know, what am I doing for the dog? Grab and go. And so I had containers I used, and we made it a system where it was very easy. And it just kind of went from there. We just kind of said, this would be great. Other people would like this. And so far they have. Not all the time, but the most of the time.
Now, this recipe, it came from your vet. Is this a recipe that was created for humans and then passed down to dogs, or was the other way around?
I think it was a vet in Ohio that researched this disease, and he created it because each of the ingredients kind of had a counter effect on the disease. Uh-huh. So it had tofu and spinach and broccoli, and broccoli it kind of does the same thing in people, you know, as it does with dogs. It might, you know, give them a little bit of gas. Mm-hmm. So we try to, you know, we use broccoli, but not a lot of it. And this had it in there, and green peppers, kind of the same effect. So each of the ingredients he researched were beneficial for this disease. So that's what she recommended. She's like, you know, I just read this not long ago as we diagnosed Shelby. Give it a try. I'm like, okay. Because what would it hurt? It didn't hurt me to try that for her and to try to make her life as good as we could make it for her. And so we did. And then we kind of progressed from that recipe to healthy food recipes. And then from that, we've progressed to the raw diet, which is kind of the big thing that's happening in dog food now.
Okay, now that's a very interesting. I know raw food is very good for humans, and I never would have thought it would be for dogs too. We're going to take a break and hear from my wonderful sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be back with your pet chef.
Do you desire more control over your money and financial matters? Would you like simple solutions to complex financial topics? Do you want more security in your financial future? If you answered yes to any of these questions, the book 101 Principles to Wealth is your answer. It's available now on Amazon.com. That's 101 Principles to Wealth by Charles Brokop. Order today.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredimski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com.
Welcome back with Lisa Hennessy, your pet chef. I want to share with all my listeners that both Tom, Jared, and Charles will be with us, visiting again with us next month, and their books are fantastic. I highly recommend them. Now, Lisa, let's talk a little bit about this raw food diet that is the big thing for animals today.
Right. Well, it's really, a lot of vets are recommending it because it's closest to a dog's natural or wild diet. So before dogs were domesticated, they hunted their prey and they ate it. And this kind of, this kind of goes along that premise. So it's raw meat, it's raw protein, and then it also has a certain percentage of organ meat, which, as gross as that is, I get it, it's gross. It's gross every day when I'm making the food. But if you think about Discovery Channel and you watch lions getting an antelope, again, it's nature at its best.
Yeah.
But the you know, the lions that are kind of higher up in the pecking order, they get to eat first. And, you know, again, gross. Mm-hmm. They eat the organs first. They're loaded with vitamins and minerals that are really required for healthy living. So we also include some, you know, a small percentage of veggies and fruit because they offer, again, a ton of vitamins, a ton of fiber. And actually, I grow a lot of that myself. I live in a pretty big lot. And so we grow a lot of cucumber and zucchini and carrots and that kind of thing that we use in the food. So, you know, it's better than organic. We pick it and use it in the food. So this diet, it's just incredible to see the changes in dogs when they go from a kibble or, you know, dry food diet to this raw diet. I offer delivery because I love to go see the dogs, really more than the people. I like to visit with the dogs. And what's the best part is I did it because I wanted feedback. I want that immediate feedback. Tell me what you like, tell me what you don't like, and I can fix it. I can see the changes in the dogs. I can see the difference in their coat, their skin, their eyes, their teeth. One of the things that people get a little bit confused about is, doesn't the kibble, the dry food, help keep my dog's teeth clean? The raw food has all the natural enzymes in the protein. It keeps the teeth even whiter. I have an older collie now, Gilmore. He'll be 12 in a couple weeks. And he just, as pretty as he is, he comes from a bad line of teeth. And he's had bad teeth since he was two. Since he's been eating raw food, his teeth are getting close to being white at 12 years old.
That's amazing.
And, I mean, he would have breath, you know, he would come in and we'd be like, dude, you got to leave the room. You can't breathe on us. And now it's no big deal. So it's just the transformation of these dogs. And then I get to see the look on the owner's faces too. Like, look at how good he looks. I'm like, I know. Like, I just want to tell everyone how great it is. But it's one person at a time. So
absolutely. And we're getting to a lot of those one persons on this show. I'm sure that anyone who has a pet is very, very interested in what Lisa is sharing with us today. Now, tell me, is it much more expensive to do raw food? How costly?
Well, if you're feeding your dog like dog chow, it's more expensive. But if you feed your dog a higher quality kibble or higher quality food, my food is kind of right in the middle there. So I would say if you're, you know, if you have a 20-pound dog, on my food, it costs about $15 a week. So, you know, people kind of figure out how much they spend if they have treats, if they boil chicken, if they toss extra food in. But that $15 is delivered. I stock people's freezers if they need me to. And I make everything by portion. So you don't have to guess. You don't have to scoop. I label the bag. And you just defrost it and serve. So I've tried to, again, take my philosophy of lazy and help out some of my customers to say, I know mornings are busy, defrost.
Yes.
Right.
Now, do you deliver out of state or do you just deliver in your area?
I deliver in my area, probably within 100 miles, and then I ship. So I have several customers that are out of the, you know, like Northern Illinois, we like to say, and we ship to them. So it's the same philosophy. It arrives at their door. I'm just not there to stock their freezer for them, so I can't.
Okay. And I can see that the shipping is going to probably be in your business plan with a lot of expansion. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we've really kind of worked on that to perfect it and, you know, done a lot of testing on it to make sure the food still shows up frozen. It's still quality that I like to see it. So we've been successful. We figured it out. It wasn't easy.
Now, do you make all this food at home, or do you have a place where you go to process this?
We still do it at home. Once we hit a certain target of customers, then we can move out, which is fastly, it's approaching very quickly. I'm a systems person, so I'm able to really expand in my home pretty quickly and add, you know, everything is very scalable. So if I'm able to say I can go from, you know, add 15 customers in a week and not really kind of break a sweat. So everything's made just for the customer, so I don't keep stock either, which kind of helps me. I'm able to really rotate everything pretty quickly. But that's part of the personal touch, is I don't keep stock. You know, it really, people be like, well, can't you bring it out tomorrow? I'm like, well, I didn't make it yet. No. I don't eat food I have, the food for my dog, so then what are they going to do? You know, I mean, I only have stock for my dog. That's it. I don't keep any stock. Yeah.
Well, now, okay, a lot of people are very concerned when you're talking about raw handling. There's always warnings that come with raw food. How does your product help with those concerns for people who are listening?
Well, I do provide everything in like a Ziploc bag. So you can just slide it out and put it into a bowl. But you do have to be conscious that it is raw food. So it's the same thing as if you're preparing dinner, you know, in your home for your family or yourself. You just have to, you know, be mindful. So we don't use dog food bowls anymore. We use Purell bowls. They're great. They're indestructible, and they're easy to kind of pop in and out of the dishwasher. I defrost the food in those bowls in my refrigerator. I pop them out of the bags. I take them out of the fridge. That's gone in 15 seconds. And then I put that in the dishwasher or in the sink right away. So I always wash the bowls before I use them again. And as I advise my customers to do, because I just think that's good practice. And we just kind of rotate bowls out then. We just have a couple extra. I have three dogs now. And so we just kind of rotate them. I still have collies. I have two collies and then one, we like to call her an all-American. So, I mean, I have big dogs but I even tell people who have, you know, smaller dogs, rotate the bowls out. It's just being mindful. You know, I don't leave it sitting out on the counter. You know, it's just kind of normal food safety. But people do get concerned, and I just try to just say, you know, be thoughtful.
So when you take it out of the freezer, you never really touch the raw food.
How do you
defrost it?
I use quart-sized Ziploc bags. I slide that out from the bottom, and I put it in the bowl. I let it defrost overnight, 10 to 12 hours. And then by the time the morning when you take out the night food, like the morning you let it defrost, you come home from work, technically, and it's ready to go. You pop in the next one before you go to bed, and when you wake up, they're ready to go.
Well,
so it's a little bit more planning, I should say, for people than if you feed a kibble diet and you just poop and go. But it's, in my opinion, it's so much more of a healthy diet, and you kind of feel like it's a fun thing. I just was at a show on Saturday, and I have a sample pack, and it has chicken with beets, so they're red, and chicken with spinach, so they're green. And I tell each person, look, the bars are colorful to appeal to you. The dogs don't care. Right. So I try to make it be cool. It's, you know, they're like, oh, wow, what's in this bar? And so it's fun for the human and it's fun for the dog. I mean, my dogs don't care. My dogs eat the leftovers. So everything that's left over, my dogs eat. So when people say, oh, my dog can only eat chicken or eat beef, and I'm like, dude, my dogs eat 7 proteins each meal. They eat all leftovers, and they are perfectly fine. They're healthy as can be. So it's just a matter of kind of breaking some of the mindsets people have and educate, which is what I do when I go to shows or just talk to people. I try.
Okay. I'm curious to know when we come back, I want to hear about what type of shows you go to. And also we're going to hear about what you should do before you start your dog on a raw food diet. Also, we're going to share Lisa's website information and tell you how you can get her book. We'll be right back.
Everyone deserves a happy life. Life is supposed to be fun. Your life is supposed to feel good, and you're meant to feel happiness in your life and to satisfy your dreams. And you can. Because the only reason anyone wants anything or does anything is that they think they will feel better in the having of it or the doing of it. They think they will feel better in the experiencing of it. Coming soon, a website where you can learn more on how you can have the life you deserve at afeelgoodworld.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Whine World of January Jones, and we're here with my guest, Lisa Hennessy, your pet chef. I want to share with everyone that Dale Bruner will be back with us visiting again next month with his Feel Good World, and I know he makes everyone feel good. Now, Lisa, let's go right to your website and tell everyone what they can find there and also where they can buy your book.
My website is yourpetchef.com. They can buy my book either on my website or on Amazon. My website offers a lot of information about raw diets, as well as diets for dogs who might have cancer or some other illnesses. It also gives some tips on how to keep your pup lean in 2014, as canine obesity is, you know, they're estimated over 50% of the dogs in the United States are obese. So anything you can kind of do to help them lose a pound or two really, really helps them in the long run. Same with people. And just some additional information about what events I might be at and what services we have. So thanks. I enjoy working on the website. I know I need to get away from it, but.
well, you've done a fantastic job on your website, and I did enjoy it and the stories you share. And you talk about portion control, home delivery, quick and easy, husky hound, health concerns, and how to reduce your carbon paw print. You're going to have to talk about that.
Okay.
Now, let's go to what do we do? I'm going to start my dog on a raw food diet. How do I get ready to do that? What should I do?
It depends on the health of the dog. So if you've got a healthy, you know, 1 or 2 year old, it probably will take a day or two to get them switched over. We've actually had some dogs that went from kibble one meal to raw, never looked back. I am finding that dogs that are maybe bigger dogs, let's say over 10, mm-hmm. need a little bit more time. They're more used to eating a kibble diet, and mm-hmm. the raw diet is cold because you're letting it defrost. So sometimes dogs have a little bit of an issue with that. So seeing that and being a problem solver entrepreneur, which is what everyone should be, what I offer is I bake the bars. So instead of offering a raw bar, I can offer you basically, you know, little spinach meatloafs and little beet meatloafs. Mm-hmm. And they're able to be warmed while you lose some of the benefits of raw, which would be some of those enzymes. If you lightly bake it, some of them are still there. Mm-hmm. And they still get the benefit of a grain-free diet and this really high-quality human-grade diet. And then once they kind of get the used to the texture of it, the flavors, then over maybe 2 or 3 weeks, they'll go to raw, and they'll be more accepting of it. It's just kind of a transition. But I'm finding the older dogs have a little bit rougher of a time. Even my Gilmore, who's 12, some days he's like, yeah, no, sorry, I'm not buying what you're selling. And you're like, all right, dude, mm-hmm. fine. You know, I know you're a little moody. You're a senior citizen. Yeah.
Well, my dog Zoe, the talking dog on YouTube, Zoe, she's 64 pounds mm-hmm. and she's 5 years old. Mm-hmm. How much would I feed her? And I feed her now. She gets fed twice a day.
Yes. That's really the best way because it allows for them to digest everything properly and then they don't go into starvation mode. Mm-hmm. 64 pounds, I have bars. I would recommend we feed her 6 big bars, but that doesn't mean anything to anyone who doesn't know what the bars look like. That's why it's really what I ask people to do is on my website, I have a new customer questionnaire. And that's a form that's, you know, it just fills in and I get an email and it gives me more information about your dog. You know, maybe there's a lot of dogs now that have sensitivities to chicken. A lot of the big companies use so much chicken meal and chicken byproducts that as a result, dogs are having a sensitivity to it. So people can put that their dogs can't have chicken or don't like this or that. They give me an estimate of like what the activity level is, how much they feed now, how many treats they give now, because that can be very concerning. I have a lot of people that I can go to their house and be like, oh, we don't feed them any treats. And I feel like I'm on The Biggest Loser when they go to your house and they bust you for having like cupcakes in the cabinet. I'll go in and be like, there's a giant box of treats on your counter. Where is the treat cupboard? Just show me. And then you open it up and it's like thousands of dollars of treats. Well, no wonder your dog weighs 20 pounds more than it should. So, you know, you have to break up with the treats as much as the dog does.
Do you make treats?
I make treats for my own dogs, but part of being working on my business plan is a lot of people do treats. And I am very much, I don't want to be a me too. I want to be me. So I only do food. I am working on 2 new books that I will have a few treats in them. But it's still basically all grain free meals. It's the 12 days of Christmas and 8 days of Hanukkah, theme related meals that are grain free. And you know, it sounds funny, but you don't realize how much flour is in all that stuff. And it was really hard to come up with ways to get around that. But we did. Our test kitchen here on the northwest side of Chicago was very successful.
So what you're telling me is I would have 6 big bars for Zoe. That would be 3 in the morning and 3 at night?
Yes. And that would be, that's almost 1 pound of food at each setting.
Okay. So what would that be the equivalent to? 2 cups?
A little over 2. It would probably be closer to 4 cups. And that's one of the benefits of my food is I do it based on calories. So while you feed your dog 1 cup of food and that might be 600 calories, for me, that could be 15 ounces of food. So they get so much more food that's better for them and really fills them up than if you just feed kibble. And and that's one of the things that I really enjoy as well, is when I can go to someone's house or talk to someone and say, look at how much more food they're going to get. And it's so much better for them. Yeah.
Well, now, Zoe is obviously a talking dog, and she I think she's the perfect dog. And she doesn't have any health or weight issues. What do you do when someone has a dog who's a little heavy? Do you cut back on their food, or how do you
the
transition?
The basic philosophy is you feed them for the weight you want them to be. So I have a perfect example. My All-American is a rescue and is afraid of life. So she just is, I think she's just wired wrong at some point. And I don't know what else I can say at some point. And so I always felt sorry for her. So this was kind of right around when Shelby had gotten sick. We had gotten Lucy before then to just, you know, to have a puppy around. And I felt guilty all the time that she was so afraid. So, poor thing, here's a treat.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I talk to people and they're like, try agility. And I do agility with her because it helps build confidence. I'm like, okay. So we go to agility. And at some point, the trainer had the talk. I'm sure she's got a waist in there somewhere. And I'm like, what do you mean by that? She goes, she's really a little over. And I'm like, I don't know what you mean. Because I only ever had collies, and they had a lot of hair, so it's not like you could tell if they were fat or not.
Yeah.
So Lucy weighed 78 pounds. Lucy now weighs 55.
Wow.
So we fed her for 55. And it was really just me, again, breaking up with the treats. She didn't need to have this many treats. You know, we said she'd get a treat for breathing. And that's really kind of what she got. Well, she doesn't need that. So now she eats, you know, and she gets the appropriate amount of treats, but she also exercises and, you know, we go to the park and all those things that we didn't used to do. So,
right. That's so important to exercise your dog. We try to get Zoe out twice a day.
Yeah.
It's good for her. It's good for us. It's a win-win-win.
Yeah.
What bones do you recommend? Zoe loves to chew on bones. What do you recommend?
I recommend knuckles, raw knuckles. We also give, and it can be a little bit controversial depending on who you talk to. We like femurs, but only cut to maybe 2 or 3 inches. You have to be careful. You have to watch them. A lot of dogs have cracked teeth if they're a really hard chewer. So we like to also freeze them so that they last longer than 5 minutes. Because we have, I'm sure you know too, you have chewers, and I have a couple, customers that are Rotties, Rottweilers, and, 3 seconds, the bone is gone. So she freezes them, and then they seem to last about 30 minutes. But at least you feel like you're getting a bang for your buck. Like they keep them out of your hair for 30 minutes versus 2.
That's good. That's wonderful. We're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit with Lisa about what you do as far as if your dog is sadly diagnosed with cancer or other health issues and how she would recommend you handle it. We'll be right back.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul. People who have faced difficult problems. People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes. People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique, with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
Well, I hope you will become socially fit. And if you have a dog, I hope your dog becomes socially fit right along with you. We're visiting with Lisa Hennessy, and she's written a fabulous book, Your Pet Chef Cookbook. And in this, you have gluten-free and grain-free recipes that people can make for their dogs. How long did it take you to write this book, Lisa?
It took probably about 4 or 5 months to write it, to really kind of pull it all together. I was, someone suggested that I write a book, and I was always a person that would never think they would write a book. That never crossed my mind. And I thought, you know, I can do this. And I didn't know what to write first or how to do it. And we just kind of came up with the idea that we included all the customers in the book. And so people, I didn't realize how much it would touch people that when I said, can I get a picture of your dog? I want to include your story in my book.
Yeah.
And people cried. People were so excited. They're like, no way, my dog's going to be in a book. I'm like, yes, and I'm going to tell your story, how you started with me, or, you know, what great things have happened, or just funny things. And it's just been wonderful. And I really wanted to kind of share with people your life with a dog. It's happy, it's sad, it's silly, and it's all those things. So, you know, I included, you know, there's some sad things too. And but that's life. So it was really fun. And boy, it was fun to get them printed. And then I did a book signings, and I donated money back to some rescues. And then gave each person who's in the book a signed copy. People were just so excited. And it was a great feeling that I never imagined I would feel. It was wonderful.
Well, you know, I interview so many wonderful, wonderful authors on the show. And as I've always shared with so many of them and the young people that I've mentored who want to write that first book, somehow the first book's always the hardest. When you get that book published, guess what? You become an expert, and that book becomes your business card. And people have that book in their possession. I tell everyone with my books, pass it on, share it. These books are not meant to sit on a shelf. Mm-hmm. They're meant to be given to other people. It's a wonderful feeling. And I think you've done a fabulous job on this. Self-publishing is not easy, is it?
No, and I am very fortunate to work with someone that it's a person, a marketing person that I knew from my past life, and and we're the same age. We're from almost the same place, so we're really on the same wavelength, and so it's easy to bounce ideas off her. I do not have a sales and marketing background, so I never cared what color anything was or what position it was. I never cared. Now I have to care. And but she makes it easier for me. And she actually, in the first part of her career, worked for Spiegel Catalog, if anyone can remember that. And she laid out photo shoots and catalog pages. So she goes, I've done books. And so she did it for me. It was wonderful. It was so fun. Exciting. Just exciting. Yeah.
And it's so important with the book to have a wonderful cover. And you have a killer cover. I'm looking at it now, and it almost looks like something I'd like to eat. So that's very exciting.
And that, it was funny because people were like, you can't put your food on the cover. And I'm like, why not? It actually looks good.
I think it does.
And I was like, I'm putting my food on. I want people to see that it doesn't have to look like, you know, like slop in a bowl or something. It really does look good. And that's how I want people to feel good feeding it and kind of have a good time feeding it as well. So thanks. I'm going to pass that along too.
Wonderful. And, you know, when you go national, I do know that my dog, Zoe, who's had a little bit of marketing and publicity, she will audition to do your commercials for sure.
That would be great.
Briefly, we've got 3 minutes. Let's talk about what happens to people when their dog is diagnosed with cancer and what you recommend they do and how can they get through that?
Well, there are so many groups out there that will help them. They're not alone. And I think that's the first thing they need to understand. There's a fabulous organization. I did a seminar. We donated proceeds, 2milliondogs.org. They raise funds to try to find ways to prevent canine cancer. Mm-hmm. What I recommend is, it's kind of an old philosophy, feed the dog, starve the cancer.
Okay.
Diet is a huge way to help your dog fight off the disease. And a lot of the foods, the pre-made foods, kibble, are loaded with carbs, carbohydrates, and sugars.
Mm-hmm.
And those two things are what fuel cancer the most in canines. So what I do is create a diet that's, you know, it's got a high level of protein, but it nourishes the dog so that they can, you know, whether they're going through chemo or whatever medicines or whatever, you know, whatever treatment the owner decides is best for them, it can keep them nourished while still fighting it. So, and they can still want to eat. Now, some people get funny about raw food when it comes to cancer. A lot of people are worried about salmonella because their dog's immune system is, you know, a little bit, you know, in jeopardy. Then I can bake it. I've done both. I've helped both kinds of, using both kinds of foods for dogs and, have had good success. And I continue, I got a couple new customers last week that their dogs were diagnosed with cancer and, we sent out food, for them to start, you know, and then they lose their appetite and, you know, it just, it's such a hard situation for people to live through and, just to see that they're eating helps them. And that's the challenge for me, to try to keep making it appetizing. And baking these bars to make them, they really are like little mini meatloafs. We've often talked about making them to have for ourselves without the organ meat. You know, I don't really need any, like chicken hearts I'm not really fond of. But, you know, to make them, to have them for when you need to grab a quick meal, you know, again, you know, Chicago girl loves her some, you know, meatloaf and mashed potatoes. And, you know, to have some frozen meatloafs in the oven or in the freezer wouldn't be such a bad thing. So, it's really for people to kind of understand they're not alone. And I think that I had a long conversation on Saturday with the people from 2 Million Dogs. And that's one of their big things that they tell people. Reach out. Go to 2 Million Dogs. There's plenty of different, there's different branches across the United States and they will help you. I will help you. I will put you in contact with people. And we can fight it. There's the guy who created 2milliondogs.org is walking from Vancouver to San Francisco right now to raise money. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, we have to go now. I want all of my listeners who have dogs or are thinking about getting dogs, or some of you have grand dogs. I know the whole drill. Go to yourpetshelf.com and you can meet Lisa. And Lisa, when your next book comes out, I hope you will come back on our show and let us know, especially when you go national and start delivering out of state.
Perfect. I sure will. Thank you very much for having me.
It's been great. To my wonderful guest, hasn't this been a fun show today? I've learned so much. I'm looking at Zoe as I speak, and I think her diet will be changing.
Wonderful.
I would love to welcome all of you out there listening to the No Whining World. Please visit my website, januaryjones.com, with your name and email, and you'll get a free download of the first two chapters from my book, Priceless Personalities. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then have some wine, cheese, crackers, and start eating chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate and maybe some dog meatloaf, too. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Lisa Hennessy. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.